Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 23. If you would, let's stand together, Luke 23, beginning at verse 26. Luke 23, verse 26. And as they led him, Jesus, away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country. And on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. And Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree. Now remember, the two men that judged him, Pilate and Herod, found what in him? They found no fault, and yet he is being crucified illegally. And he says, if they've done this in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the forgiveness of sins. But Lord, we must come to you asking you to do this, asking you to be our Savior. And Lord, we pray that your name would be honored and glorified this day at the Covenant Baptist Church. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. As we look at the events leading up to this crucifixion, and we think of Jesus, he has had the Passover meal, and they have observed the Passover meal. Jesus foretells his betrayal, saying that the one who would betray him, that his hand was on the table with him. Peter is warned of his coming denial of Christ. And then the Lord's Supper is instituted. In John chapter 14, we find that Jesus would say, Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And then a moment later, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He continues by saying that there is the promise of the coming Comforter to those who are born-again believers. They are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. May I say this, Christians have a peace that the world doesn't know about. And oftentimes they're bothered by your peace. And they're bothered because you're not like them, because you shouldn't be like them. We are to be different. Jesus warns the disciples of coming persecution. Then there's the prayer of intercession, John chapter 17. And arriving at the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus asks his disciples to pray. And he goes a little further and prays, asking the Heavenly Father, If thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. As we know, he has finished praying, and Judas arrives at the garden with a group of men to arrest Jesus. For Judas knew the habit of Christ of going to that garden. And Jesus is arrested and taken to Annas for the first of six trials. Sometime in the time of the first two trials between Annas and Caiaphas, Peter denies Christ three times. Then on Thursday morning, he is taken before the Sanhedrin. Then Jesus is taken before Pilate, then to Herod, and back to Pilate. Both Pilate and Herod say they have found no fault. But instead of releasing Christ, they release Barabbas. Barabbas, the name means a son of Abbas. Herbert Lockyer says the man who had a substitute. Barabbas should have died for his crimes, but Jesus occupied his cross. See, three men had been sentenced to die that day. The two that are called malefactors and Barabbas, who we find, if you would, in verse, let's look at verse chapter 23 and verse 16. And it says, I will therefore chastise him, that being Jesus, and release him. From necessity, he must release one of them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man and release unto us Barabbas. I wonder if he was the worst of the criminals. And that's why they said Barabbas, saying, well, Jesus is worse than Barabbas. Verse 19, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. We find that oftentimes the guilty are released. And how many times the innocent are made to feel guilty because they believe the guilty should be punished. And we see it even in today's society, that we slap the hands of the criminal and make them, the innocent, pay for it. But we find here that Barabbas, who probably was a terrible man, he was a thief, and he was a murderer, and he had expected to die on the cross, probably had a, what shall we say, a terrible night. He hears the soldiers coming for him, he believes, in the morning, only to find that he has been released and that another was dying in his place. The crucifixion was a terrible way to die. There was much pain. There was the shame, the mocking by the crowd, the embarrassment of being naked in front of family and friends. There was no pleasure in it. And here we find, as Barabbas is waiting his execution, he receives news that he's been released. A just and holy man was to die in the place of a thief and a murderer. I wonder how many preachers, how many writers have written of this substitutionary death, this vicarious death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who paid the ransom price for you and for me, willing to die for us. But as we continue in the sequence of events, Barabbas is released. Jesus is stripped and clothed with a scarlet robe by the soldiers. He is crowned with a crown of thorns. They mock him. They spit on him. They smote him on the head. Now, ponder this. What has been put on his head? A crown of thorns. And they hit him on the head. Do you think they were aiming for the thorns? Absolutely. He did this for you and for me. Is it any wonder that God the Father says that if people do not believe in Jesus Christ and accept Him as their Savior, that they will bear the wrath of God for all eternity because of what Christ endured for us? The scarlet robe is removed and they return His clothes. And they lead him to a place called Golgotha, or a place of a skull. Once there, they will offer him vinegar mingled with gall to try to help dope the prisoners, to make it a little bit more bearable. But Jesus, after taking a small taste, refuses to take any more. On the way to Golgotha, we meet another person. There are so many in what some would call the supporting casts of this story. There is one Simon, a man from Cyrene, who, going to the city, probably for the Passover feast, bringing his sons, is going to be brought into the most historic event of all history, that of the death of Jesus Christ. Then there would be the burial of Jesus Christ, and 3 days later, his resurrection on Sunday morning. Now, the Christian actually celebrates the resurrection of Christ how many times a year? 52 times a year. Every Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I know we have a day that's earmarked for it, but the fact of the matter is we celebrate the resurrection of Christ every Sunday morning, because Jesus Christ did rise from the dead after he died for you and for me. Luke 24:26, and as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrene. And on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. Jesus was probably, from the beatings that he had taken, from the lack of food that he'd had to eat, he was probably weak and worn out, and maybe he had stumbled. And so they called for one that was nearby to take up the cross. Can you imagine having to do that? The book of Mark, chapter 15:21, and they compel one Simon a Cyrene, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. Gentlemen, we need to make sure that our sons know about Jesus. We need to make sure our daughters know about Jesus. You know, there are a lot of people in history that we can learn about in our daily lives. We can learn about good men and bad men, good women and bad women. But who is the most important one to learn about in all of history? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one that's at the focal point. Matthew 27:32. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. Today, fellow Christian, I compel you to carry the cross of Christ. Now, I'm not saying that you need to wear a necklace with the cross on or get a tattoo with the cross on. I'm saying live your life like you're a Christian. That live your life in such a way that you want to honor your Lord and Savior. Do not be afraid to bow your head when you're in a restaurant and it's time to eat. Let people know that you honor the Lord of the universe. May your family know that Jesus Christ is important to you, that you love the Lord. Because you do love the Lord, don't you? You talk to him regularly. You want him to be part of your life. The other day we learned that our granddaughter had to take her mother to work because the vehicle was needed. And she was coming back to the house and she fell asleep driving. Now that is never a good thing. And as she fell asleep, she went into the oncoming traffic. Fortunately, the two cars that she was headed towards divided, and all that was lost were four mirrors. Now, when I heard that, the same thing happened that probably would happen to you if it was your grandchild. Tingles went down my arms and up my back, and I thought, oh, what could have been? You know, we love our grandchildren. I agree with Brother Lee, who said, if I'd known having grandchildren was so good, I'd have started with them first. Some of you will get that later. But today, fellow Christian, I compel you to carry the cross of Christ. To the unsaved, to you that have never come to Jesus Christ and said, Lord, I know I'm a lost reprobate. I know I'm a lost sinner. I know I'm bound for hell's fire. Save my soul. Be my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Well, however you make that prayer, if you've never prayed that prayer, you need to make sure you do it today. Because you don't know when there is some teenager who is going to fall asleep and come directly into your lane. You don't know. And I would compel you to come to the cross of Christ. I conclude our message this morning by reading this poem. Walking on the road to Jerusalem, for the time had come to sacrifice again. My two small sons, they walked beside me on the road. The reason that they had come was to watch the Lamb. Daddy, what will we see there? There is so much that we don't understand. So I told them of Moses and Father Abraham. Then I said, dear children, watch the Lamb. When we reached the city, I knew something must be wrong. There were no joyful worshipers, no joyful worship song. I stood there with my children in the midst of angry men. When I heard the crowd cry out, crucify him. We tried to leave the city, but we could not get away. Forced to play in this drama, a part I did not wish to play. Why upon this day were men condemned to die? Why were we standing here, where soon they would pass by? I looked and said, even now they come. The first one cried for mercy. The people gave him none. The second one was violent. He was arrogant and loud. I still hear his angry voice screaming at the crowd. And then someone said, there's Jesus. I scarce believed my eyes. A man so badly beaten, he barely looked alive. Blood poured from his body, from the thorns upon his brow. Running down the cross, falling to the ground. I watched him as he struggled. I watched him as he fell. The cross came down upon his back. The crowd began to yell. In that moment, I felt such agony. In that moment, I felt such loss. Till the Roman soldier grabbed me by my arm and screamed, you, carry his cross. At first, I tried to resist him. Then his hand reached for his sword. So I knelt and took the cross from the Lord as it was placed on my shoulder. I started down the street. The blood that he'd been shedding was running down my cheek. They led us till Golgotha. They drove nails deep in his hands and feet. Yet upon the cross I heard him pray, Father, forgive them. Oh, never have I seen such love in any other eyes. Into thy hands I commend my spirit, he prayed. And then he died. I stood for what seemed like years. I'd lost all sense of time until I felt two tiny hands holding tight to mine. The children stood there weeping. I heard the oldest say, Father, please forgive us, the lamb has run away. Daddy, Daddy, what have we seen here today? There's so much that we don't understand. So I took them in my arms, and we turned and faced the cross. Then I said, dear children, watch the lamb. Shall we stand together? At the invitation time, maybe you would just like to come and thank the Lord for what he has done on your behalf. Maybe you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you've never been baptized by immersion and you'd like to follow Jesus Christ in baptism, and we'd be glad to do that. Maybe you've never accepted the Lord as Savior and you don't truly understand the joy that comes from being saved. We'd be glad to have someone show you from the Word of God what you must do. But the opportunity is here. You can come and pray at the altar. You can sit on the front pew if you'd like. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that we would be focused on you. We ask that your will would be done this day, at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.